Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. In 2009, I underwent an unexpected and frightening to me, at least, medical procedure. And as doctors are wont to do, some of y'all are medical professionals, so you know that. As the procedure was about to begin, the doctor told me to relax. And he said, just sit back, lie back, it's going to be all right. Close your eyes and go to your happy place. So I did that. And what immediately came up for me surprised me so much that it took me a minute to settle into that happy place because I was surprised by what came to me. I was kind of instantly brought back to a dream I'd actually had the night before this medical event had happened. Now, I don't really, like, rationally, cognitively believe in things like signs and, you know, things before they happen being revealed to you, and yet it seems to happen sometimes. So despite whether or not I believe in it, I might have to. Because in my dream and where I went, I was in a room that was, well, it was sort of like annual conference session for the then Troy annual conference. That's what surprised me. It wasn't a nice, beautiful nature scene. I wasn't by a lake. I wasn't out in the woods. I love places like that. I wasn't even, like, just sort of snuggled up at home with my family or family of origin or something like that. I was in what is, for me, church. See, I'm not a member of any local church. As a clergy person, I am part of, I'm a member of the annual conference. That's where I hold my membership. And so that is literally my church. But in this dream, there were all kinds of people in it. Many of them, most of them, were from the annual conference. They were my friends and colleagues from that form of church. But there were also people that had never been to an annual conference in their life. There were people who were not United Methodist. There were people who were not Christian. There were members of my family of origin and of my nuclear family in this dream, all kind of gathered together. But where we were, and clearly what we were doing was we were being the annual conference of the United Methodist Church. We were being my church. That's where I went. That's where I had been in my dream of that gave me comfort and courage before I even knew I needed it. And when the doctor said, just close your eyes and go to your happy place, that's where I went. The church, the people of God, the family broadly writ. All the people that I loved and needed and the people who supported me, but gathered together as the church. And that was my happy place. And it's true. That is my happy place. I don't mean the annual conference session itself is my happy place. But the church, the people of God, the people that I love, but in a huge community, that is the place that loves and sustains and supports me. And later, as aspects of my nuclear family began to disintegrate and die into new and different life, it was that community, that larger community of faith, that family, that happy place of the church that held and carried and sustained me. It was indeed and remains my strength, my family, my community. So much bigger than any family that could gather together under one house roof or even one church roof, the family of the people of God. And I realized that is my family, my parents, my siblings, my beloved ones. It's not to say that we do away with those families of origin or those nuclear families in which we live, the families that we choose. It's that we expand them. They were still there. They were still part of it, but they were not carrying that all by themselves. And I think that's true. I don't think what Jesus is saying here is that he's disowning or disavowing his mother or his siblings and saying, you know, I don't acknowledge their presence. But he is expanding this question. He was expanding the circle by asking a question. Who, in fact, is my family? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters and siblings? Who are my loved ones? Who is that extended network? And what he's saying to the people right in front of him is that you are that family. All those who hear the word of God and who do it. Got to do both, by the way, right? All those who hear the word of God and do it, they are my true kin. And that is a gift, I believe, that Jesus gives to all of us. Because we build and we create the family and the structure and the community, the body that will hold us through all of the difficulty that we face. And it's as unique as we are. It is unique as our own thumbprint. And it is as diverse as that whole community gathered together. Now, as you came in, you had the opportunity to put your fingerprint or thumbprint on a tree, much like this one, as we build a picture of what we look like as a community together, a different kind of family tree. Now, I have seen this on Pinterest, and I have seen this at a wedding, used as a wedding guest book, right? And people signed it. I want to assure you, this is the first time anyone's ever asked this, because I've seen it done a couple times. I want to assure you I'm not going to bring it to the police station or sell it to the FBI. Your names, you didn't have to sign next to them. Your names are not associated with your thumb or fingerprint. But certainly if you don't want to do it or you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to. But just to reassure you that this is not a way of collecting data, we're also not going to scan for, you know, Safe Sanctuary's background checks. We do that to make sure that the children are well protected, but that's separate. So feel free to put a fingerprint on the tree if you'd like as we build a picture of what we look like as a community. We are as unique and as beautiful and diverse a family tree as the sum total and then some of all of those unique fingerprints. And that is who we are as community. The thing is that Jesus was preparing. In this case, he was early in his ministry as his biological kin came to him. And as I said before, I read the scripture, most likely to tell him to cool it down. He's starting to say some pretty radical things about, you know, what's he going on about if you have, you get more, and if you don't, you might lose. But he's clearly not talking about power within the church or the society or money, because then he totally disses on all those things, so it can't be that. And what he's starting to draw some attention. And like any good parent and any good sibling, his family of origin are worried that this might get him in trouble. And rightly so, right? Because it does get him in trouble. Jesus is embarking at this stage in his ministry and in opening up what will be his life and ministry and defining it by this kind of community and this kind of love. And he's about to start defining his whole life around love. But love in a kind of justice-seeking, boundary-breaking, world-transforming way. And we all have the opportunity to define our lives to live in that kind of love that does indeed seek justice, that does resist evil and injustice and oppression, as we were talking about last week. That's part of who we are as we journey in our faith. And the thing is that when we make that choice and we begin to live out that choice over and over and over again, we open ourselves up to some really strange and dangerous propositions. By defining his life and his ministry around the kind of love that would break or challenge existing structures, be they of families or of communities or of the church, which was at that time the temple, and that was really terrifying, or of the government of the state, and saying instead that we are to live as the family of God and we're to follow God's word, he's going to get himself into a lot of trouble. And the same thing happens with us. When we speak out for justice, we attract attention, not always positive, not always favorable. When we make choices that privilege following and doing the leading of God that we discern, that sometimes means that we've left aside other commitments. When we insist upon love that is healthy and good and strong, that means sometimes we have to look to the relationships in our lives that are not healthy and good and strong and ask ourselves what we can do to transform them, or if it's time for those relationships to end. You know, we say we don't make someone in your life the center of your life if they're not prepared to make you the center of theirs. Or don't give all for a friend who's a fair-weather friend and doesn't return that love, or is only there when things look good. Jesus has a few of those. It's not to say he was perfect at this, right? He's got a few friends. In fact, he's got one in particular that's a really fair-weather friend that, you know, will just about give it all up for a little bit of silver. But then he's got another 11 or so who tuck tail and run at the sign of the authorities. So none of us get this quite right. It works out a little bit in the end for some of them. But when we define ourselves around living and doing the Word of God, sometimes that challenges the relationships that we have. Sometimes that challenges and shakes even members of our family. When I first was experiencing a call to ministry, and I went back and I told my sibling about it, my sibling was skeptical, to say the least. Sometimes our families know us best, you know, and so they know all of our faults, and they say, really? You sure about that? I kind of can't picture that. Well, everybody else in your life is like, oh, yeah, you're going to be great. Your sibling's like, mm-mm. I know what your room looks like. No. And it's true. And sometimes we take a stance that alienates people that we love or care about. Sometimes they take a stance that alienates people that, you know, alienates us. And when we've redefined our sense of family to be those who hear and do the will of God, the Word of God, who live out love and justice and inclusivity, but also challenge the things that would clamp down or segregate God's blessing for only some, there are bound to be pushbacks. There are bound to be problems. Jesus' family comes around, a lot of them, it seems. We know that Mary, his mother, is there by the time of his death, sadly, is there to witness that. We hear about those referenced in the letters and in the stories of the early church as Jesus' brothers, Jesus' siblings. And so we know that they do eventually become part of the movement that he's creating, but perhaps at first they're skeptical. And so Jesus says, well, while they're still welcome, that we're going to create another family here, a broader family, a wider family. And in fact, we all need that. We all need a place that is bigger than just one or two or five people to hold us and carry us through those medical emergencies, through those life falling apart moments, through those times of sorrow and struggle, through those times of elation and celebration. What a gift to have a family that is all those who gather around Christ. Because living, as he teaches, can be hard, can be challenging. And so the question of who we are is kind of twofold. Who are we in terms of who are we in our families? In our families of origin, in our families that we have created and built, in our families of choice, in the church and the church universal. Are we those who define ourselves by hearing and doing God's word? Are we those who define ourselves by living as Christ calls us to live? If we are either or both of those things, then we need one another just as surely as Jesus needed the people in his community, and just as surely as I have needed and still need the people in mine. If we are those who take seriously Christ's call, then we need to live in love and live by love. And we need to stand with one another. Who are your siblings? Who are your family members? You have beautiful, beloved ones well beyond the walls of this space, but you also have beloved ones here. And you have a family and a community that extends beyond even what could fit in this room or what could fit in a conference center, because we are connected and we are beloved. We are a part not only of our own families of creation, but of Christ's created family. As unique and as special as our own individual fingerprints, and as diverse and beautiful and manifold and multiple as all of those fingerprints put together in a vast and magnificent family tree. Let us give thanks that we are the family of Christ. Amen.